When I was in seminary, I worked at the Apple Store as one of the ways to help make ends meet. And during my time there, with a convenient introduction by my sister, who also worked with Apple, she helped me meet Jasper Peters. Jasper and I were cut from the same cloth, loved some of the exact same things, and had the same calling to ministry together. Through our time and relationship, Jasper actually became United Methodist and became a United Methodist pastor. He is one of my favorite clergy colleagues, and I thought it would be a neat opportunity to invite him to share one of his sermons with us this week. He asked if he should write something just for this weekend, and I said, no, just look at the last few months. You've been recording all your sermons anyway. Just send me one. So this sermon comes from the week before Pentecost, the last Sunday of May. He'll be preaching on the ascension of Jesus. I'll share that scripture with you from Acts in just a moment. He also is honoring Aldersgate Day, a day we reflect on our Methodist heritage of John Wesley's heart being strangely warmed. I'm very grateful that I have such a gifted colleague who would offer us his insight and reflection into the world. Hear the word of scripture this day. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that God has set by the divine authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come to you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, they were gazing up toward heaven, and suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers.
I have sympathy for the disciples as we discover them in the scriptures. This monumentous occasion of the resurrection is followed by time with Jesus, more time learning from Jesus. And now they're asking, what now? Jesus, are you going to keep doing these amazing things? And he says, nope, you are. I love looking at the imagery, people imagining what the ascension might have looked like over the centuries. People imagining Jesus floating up and hitching a ride on clouds. Some of the more modern imaginings have even shown like wormholes and other such ways of imagining this extreme and transformative moment. When they transition from having Jesus present with them to feeling terribly, terribly alone. And here comes this question from these angelic visitors. Why are you gazing? The disciples, I'm sure, said, because we don't know what to do. We could do all of this with Jesus present. We went out and we were preaching and we were teaching and we were healing and we were doing the things that he sent us to do. But now we have traveled off of the map, firmly into unfamiliar territory. I remember and will always remember what it felt like to learn to drive. I read the books and I knew the rules and I passed the test. And then within 30 minutes, my father handed me the keys and I was sure that someone somewhere had made a terrible mistake. I was behind the wheel and I had an abundance of doubt and more than a couple of regrets in that moment. And I was desperate for the safety of my study book, for the clarity of my permit test. Now, those things were far behind me, and the only thing in front of me felt like far too much responsibility for me to shoulder all by myself. A couple months after I had been driving around town with my dad, he told me that I'd be driving from our home in South Denver. I'd be driving him from our home in South Denver to a meeting in Cheyenne. Now, having grown up in South Denver, my imagination stops at I-70. Like, I couldn't have told you anything that existed. I understood Cheyenne was vaguely north, but no idea of what it meant or what it would take to get there. There was nothing on my mental map beyond that. I think I was shaking when we got in the car, and I held it together through the city, and I was really proud of myself, and I was discovering these towns that sounded familiar with exotic names like Thornton. And I even made it all the way up to Fort Collins, and it was about 10 minutes after passing Fort Collins, and I was feeling confident and good and excited about this new opportunity to learn. About 10 minutes after passing Fort Collins, I look over and I see that my dad, my driving supervisor, my teacher, was asleep. Can you imagine what it felt like to be holding the wheel in that moment and realize I'm all by myself? Now, scripture tells us that the disciples had been doing the work, but they always had Jesus for backup. If they had questions, not that Jesus was always great at answering questions, but at least he, you know, would offer a parable, and you felt like he really gave it a try. But this also meant that they relied on Jesus, and when he left, they were left staring, not only wondering where Jesus had gone to, but what were they supposed to do now? And these angelic visitors, they say, "Men of Galilee," ought to have been "people of Galilee." And not all of them had called Galilee home, but it reminded them of another place and time, a place where Jesus had walked with them and talked with them and taught them how to love their enemies and heal those in need of healing. By calling them the people of Galilee, these angelic visitors recalled their attention from the sky, wishing Jesus would come back and fix it. And instead, their attention is called to their own hearts, to the work that God has already done, to the provision that God has already given. These troublesome angels ask, they essentially ask, "Do you trust him? Then go do what he told you to do. Go be who he sent you to be. He'll come back in the same way that he went. But in the meantime, you are the people of Galilee, the people where the healing, the ministry, where this took place, the place where this began, and you are called to continue it on." We often speak about John Wesley because his theology influences so much of what we do, and we continue to be a part of this Methodist movement that he began. He was a priest in the Church of England, and despite being a committed follower of Christ, he continued to find himself feeling spiritually flat. In his journal, he writes about one night, he begrudgingly went to a Bible study, and after hearing this sermon, he said, "I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and save me from the law of sin and death." In this moment, Wesley is making a reference to Romans 8. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death." Wesley said, even though he had been taught the scriptures from the time he was a young child, even though he was already a priest in the Church of England, he said it was that night when he finally trusted in Christ with his whole heart. That lets us know, by the way, that there's room for people who've been deeply religious for a long time to still experience these life-changing moments. But at any rate, Wesley says he finally trusted in Christ and finally then could go do what Christ told him to do, go be who Christ sent him to be. "My father sleeping on the ride up to Cheyenne wasn't a sign that he abandoned me. It was a sign that he trusted me, that he knew, I knew where to go." Like the disciples who were caught gazing at the sky, who needed a reminder that even when they were uncertain, even when they felt they had left the map and all that was comfortable and familiar, that Christ in their hearts would guide them. I don't know how many moments recently in which I have felt I have no experience, I have no reference, I'm off the map, I don't know what to do in these moments. And every single moment when I take the time to pray and listen, God reminds me that I have prepared you to be loving and kind, and that is what you need. Those are the skills you need in this moment. Sometimes we want God to do something on the outside when the seeds of change have already been planted in here. When we tell God about the ways in which the world needs to be changed, and in that very moment, God tells us about the ways in which we have already been changed, the way that we have already been equipped to be a force of change in the world. We're called to do good in the world, to do all the good that we possibly can. so that we might help transform it, help to make Christ's kingdom a reality here and now. In order to do all the good that we can, we have to trust ourselves, trust in what Christ has taught us already, and believe that it's enough for this moment, rather than gaze longingly in the direction of certainty and security, gazing longingly at all the things we used to have. Instead, go and do the work that is before you. Trust yourself, as Christ trusts all of us, to do the good work that only we can do. To do all the good you can means recognizing the good that has already been done in your heart. Recognizing the love that God already invested in you. Recognizing that that can be a comfort to you and a guide for you and carry you through moments that are unknown. My prayer for all of us who feel as though we have left the map far behind. The only thing on the paper now are leviathans and dragons and other terrifying things. May all of us have hearts that are strangely warmed with the peace and comfort of Christ, knowing that his love lives in us and guides us to be like him. May it be so. Amen.